In the month of November, the Church invites us to look forward with hope, look beyond this world, but look beyond even this life, look beyond death. It's a very forward-looking time of the year, and we can see this in tonight's readings, this looking for what is to come. Just in case you didn't get the main point of this parable that Jesus gives us in tonight's gospel, this parable of the 10 virgins, let me read once again what Jesus himself says at the end. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Okay, so it's all about staying awake. You have to stay awake. Obviously, he's not talking about being awake from sleep in the usual sense, physical sleep. Since the parable says that all 10 of the virgins fell asleep, and they all had to be awakened when the groom arrived, no one could stay awake all the time, physically. Even Jesus slept. No, what he's talking about here is the importance of remaining spiritually awake. And the parable shows us two alternatives. Either we are spiritually awake, or we are not. Either we are ready, or we are not. Either we enter into the wedding feast with him, or we are locked out. Either we are wise, or we are foolish. That's all clear from the parable. But some things might not be so clear, so let's explore a little bit the deeper meaning here. A couple of questions I think can help us organize our thoughts here. First, what are these virgins really waiting for? That is, what are we really waiting for? And secondly, what is the meaning of this oil, which is one of the central symbols of the whole parable, the oil? Well, first of all, what are we waiting for? Well, in the parable, they're waiting for the coming of the groom, which for us is a symbol of the coming of the Lord. We are all in this position of awaiting the arrival of the Lord in our life. Whether it's at the end of our life or at the end of the world or at any moment in the meantime, he will come. He comes. On a day and at an hour, we simply do not know. But we are waiting. And what we're waiting for then is a very good thing. It's a very joyful event. It's symbolized by a wedding feast. This is helpful for us to reflect on how we look at the future or how we anticipate what is to come. Because very often, we look at the future as something terrible, as if we're waiting for something bad to happen all the time. And the news gives us this awareness that a lot of bad things do happen. And even the Bible does use a lot of negative images about what is to come. A flood, a storm, a thief, a judge, all these things. But here, Jesus compares his coming to a wedding, which helps us reevaluate even the tragedies that keep breaking into us in this life. There are many things that happen. And we experience them as really simply terrible. But that's not how God experiences them, and that's not how he sees things. So we have to, or we should try to, learn how to see things differently in light of this image of the coming of the wedding feast. When something seems bad, tragic, terrible, we can ask, well, what is God really doing? And even though we don't know what he's doing right now, or what in this particular moment or this particular instance, we know that he is always preparing for union with him. He's always preparing us for the wedding feast. All the time. God is good all the time. When he delays, and we say, well, that's not good. He's delaying. Maybe he's doing something good, giving us more time to prepare, more time to repent. When he comes at midnight, as he comes in the parable, when he comes in the darkness, in a moment when we can't see, and we say, well, this is terrible. He's coming when it's dark. He's coming when we're asleep. Well, maybe he's giving us an opportunity to show our love for him, our trust in him, our readiness for him. Midnight represents the time when we're the least prepared. So when we're prepared at midnight, when we're tempted, for example, or when we're tried, or when we're suffering, when we still trust in the Lord, that shows we're ready. Sometimes we experience blessings, we give thanks. Sometimes we experience temptations, testings, then we draw near to him. But all the time, no matter what we're experiencing, all the time, what we're awaiting is ultimately good. And if we're ready, it will be good for us, if we're ready. To be ready means to have oil for our lamps. Langis, para sa mga ilawan natin. That takes us to the second question. Not only what are we waiting for? Yes, we're waiting for some great thing to happen, a great event. In fact, a series of great events that leads to ultimately union with God. But in the meantime, we have to do our part. And that's where we get to this symbol of oil. In the parable, the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins is represented by the supply of oil, or the lack of oil. So it shows this is where we have to do a little work. This is where we have a responsibility. It's not all up to God. We have a part to play here. We all have a lamp, yes. We all have a lamp. All 10 of the young women in the parable have lamps, and the lamps are all lit. This is given to us by the Lord. The lamp is lit when we're baptized. This is the power of love. It's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not our doing. It's a great gift, thanks be to God. We all have this capacity to love, and we're all capable of love, and we're already loved by God. In fact, the fire of God's love never goes out, no matter what we do. His love is everlasting, the scriptures proclaim. But what about our love? What about our love? Well, then it depends. It depends on us. It depends on whether we're wise about love or foolish. Like any fire, love needs fuel. Or otherwise it goes out. And the fuel is continually being consumed. So we ask, well, what's the fuel that we need for our love? Now, by the way, we're not talking about burdensome requirements that are laid on us by some demanding God. We're talking about how we're made and what we're made for. We're talking about what should come naturally to us, except that we have a broken condition. And that is love. Now, what is it that keeps the fire of love burning in our hearts? Well, many things. I could give a whole list of them, but let me just mention a few. First of all, communication. Relationships depend on communication. If you want to kill a relationship, if you want to kill a marriage or a friendship, just stop talking to each other. Just give each other the silent treatment. Yeah, it will die. No communication. Communication with God is prayer. Prayer, talking and listening to God. When we pray, we feed the fire. When we pray, we strengthen our bond with God. And he strengthens his bond with us. If we're foolish enough not to pray, what happens? Maybe you know from experience. If you stop praying, it seems as if God is farther away, as if he's grown quiet, as if he's not listening, as if he doesn't care, doesn't love us at all. It's not true, but that's what it seems like because we have not been doing our part. So prayer is part of the oil, part of the fuel we need for the fire. Essential. Now, also essential to our communication with God is his word to us, especially in the scriptures. The word of God is oil for us. It's God's gift to us. It's his revelation of his love, of his plan, of his ways, of his mercy. That's why at every single Mass, we read several passages from the Word of God, because it's oil for us. Keeps our lamp burning. What else? The sacraments. The sacraments, divine power bestowed on us in the sacraments, especially Holy Communion. During the pandemic, when everybody had to stay home, people said, oh, it's easier to watch the Mass online. Maybe. But it's sure a lot harder to receive Holy Communion online. That's why it's a good thing you're here. What we can't receive online is Holy Communion, the sacrament. If we want our body to be strong, we have to eat right. If we want our spiritual life to be strong, we have to eat right. And that's the Eucharist. And to gain the real power of the Eucharist, the poison of sin has to be gotten out of the way. That's why we need to make good use of the sacrament of confession. These are all oil. The prayer is oil. The Word of God is oil. The sacraments are oil. There's lots of other things that are oil. You want to know one thing that's good oil for us? Good friendships. People who are encouraging to us, who give us good example, who give us wisdom. Parents are oil. Teachers are oil. Friends are oil. The saints are oil. You ever read the lives of the saints or think about the experiences of the saints? It's really inspiring. It really helps us understand how friends of God live and how they persevere when there's difficulty. So there's lots of oil. The rosary is oil. Coming to Mass is oil. Service of others. Sacrifice. When we love others, when we get ourselves out of the way and we put someone else in our hearts, we grow. Love grows when we love. Sacrifice is oil. So this is all I could say. There's many things. But what we're doing here as we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, our groom, is not waiting for a disaster. We're waiting for a wedding feast. And we're not just sitting around like doomed prisoners or something. We're making good use of our time. We're doing our part, keeping the flame of love alive in the lamp of our hearts. If we want to be wise, we will not delay in prayer or forget about prayer or allow ourselves to be distracted all the time. We will not fill ourselves with trivial matters that keep us from gaining oil for our relationship with God. We will not procrastinate. No, we will stay awake because we know neither the day nor the hour. And that not knowing doesn't frighten us because we have oil. We're ready to welcome the Lord.